Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Private Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Tracy Lee, who is the Freedom Architect, constructing freedom worldwide through physical, emotional, and spiritual healing, and unlocking the keys to universal consciousness, one emancipation at a time. Today, our topic is Don't Become Who Hurt You. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on my co-host, Tracy. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you, Al, and good morning, and hi to everyone listening. Hope everyone's having a wonderful start to the week.
Right on. How's everything in your world?
Everything is moving really quickly, you know, getting ready to leave for Asia and prepping for everything that's going on, and time's flying really fast.
So when do you leave for Asia?
I leave on the 11th of July.
That's like right around the corner.
I know. It's come up on us really quickly. It's amazing.
Right on. Over here in California, man, we're going through a time heat wave. It's hotter than heck.
I mean, the heat index is nuts here, too.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday got up to 109, and today's supposed to be even hotter. So it's pretty warm.
Yeah.
Hey, so in Houston, is it hot where you're at, too?
It's warm, and the heat index gets up to 109, 110, and the humidity, and then the mosquitoes come out. I was looking at my feet, you know, this morning because I walked the dog, and it's just like a bunch of mosquitoes just ate my feet alive over the last week. I'm not going to miss the summertime when I leave. I think it's the perfect time to get out of here for this heat.
Right on. So you picked a great topic, Don't Become Who Hurt You. What brought that on?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I saw that someone, I look at social media a lot, and I saw someone posted that meme, Don't Become Who Hurt You, and I was like, wow. Because this is something that personally, you know, I still struggle with to this very day. Because what happens when people hurt us is they leave energetic imprints in our auric field or in our morphic fields. And those energetic imprints we kind of take with us. And it takes time for the strength of that imprint to subside after something happens. So it's naturally, it happens naturally sometimes that we assume the shoes of the abuser or of the hurter, because that energy is around us. And so when we get the chance, we sometimes subconsciously tap into it and act like the people that we, you know, took great care to leave sometimes or to remove ourselves from.
You know, what's interesting is when you suggested that title and you sent me that meme, I read it and I go, wow. That's pretty deep, but I've never heard anybody address that before. And you're right. If we get influenced by the other person, it could be anywhere. It could be on a job. It could be a friend. It could be in a relationship, an intimate relationship. You kind of start becoming like the other person without you even knowing it, because you're bombarded every day by that influence, and you become more like that person. And then you start treating other people the way you're being treated.
Right. And it's kind of like the seesaw effect, if you will, Al. So imagine like a seesaw, and, you know, there's two people going back and forth, and the person, you know, on the higher end of it, which we'll just call like the abuser, because he's talking down to somebody else, you know, the person on the top is saying, you know, you're this, you're that, don't do this, you make me sick, like you're a bad this, you're a bad that, and then he's, you know, or she is just talking down, 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 and then finally, eventually, that person at the bottom can't take it anymore, and they, you know, they just dump that person, you know, they use all their strength, and that person at the top just flies off, and then it's only natural, like the swing of a pendulum, that that person's going to eventually assume kind of like a higher role where somebody else is possibly at the bottom. And while we're at the top, we have to realize, you know, hey, I don't want to be this kind of person speaking down to someone. Let's try to level the playing field a little bit and treat everybody equally as human beings, as opposed to creating this, you know, swinging pendulum or seesaw effect all the time.
So, again, as I mentioned, you know, I can see this gradually happening, and without you really recognizing it, until one day you wake up and say, hey, I've become just like this other person. But how does okay, so how does a person wake up to the fact that perhaps they're becoming more like the other person, and before they realize, before they do something stupid or dumb and realize they're treating other people the same way, how can you get, how can you wake up before that happens? Because I know,
well,
like I said, it gradually can happen and you don't even realize it.
It's good to learn to recognize the signs, I think. In my particular case, sometimes I'll hear myself using the same words or phrases that he used to say, and I'll catch myself and I'll say, you know, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to become this. I don't want to say that. I don't want to make others feel the way I used to feel. And so if I think that that's a good, those are good signs to look for, meaning if you see people responding to the way you treat them in the way similar to the way you used to respond to someone who was hurting you, that might, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but you might want to take a few steps back and say, hey, what am I doing that's causing somebody to feel hurt, or what am I doing that's causing them to respond in a way that I used to respond back in the day when I was the one getting hurt? And at least consider the possibility that you might be just responding to, you know, remaining energy from that relationship.
That's a good point. So be aware enough to see how people are responding or reacting to you. And if they are responding or reacting to you in the same manner, as you said, you know, the way you used to respond or react to a relationship or whoever it is, you know, a friendship or a boss or a manager. Yeah, if you start to see people around you and quite often start responding and reacting towards you the same way you used to, then you know you become somewhat, to some degree or at some level, with your other person, how the other person used to treat you. But let's talk about the people that are listening to this right now and are starting to realize, hey, maybe I am like that other person, the person I left or the person that I moved out for. How do they come back to their true authentic self rather than being the person that they don't want to be?
And I'm glad you said that, brought that point up or asked that question, because it really is about just struggling to find what's yours and who you are as your authentic self, and just remaining true to that. I encourage people to think about, who were you before you met this person that hurt you? You know, how would you have acted? How would you have responded? And compare that to the way that you acted while you were being hurt, and then compare that to the way that you're acting now that you've let go of this person who's hurting you, and try to make your way back to that inner child. And we talk about the inner child over the last couple of weeks, I believe, and healing the inner child and finding the inner child and who that person really is, I think is a really, really great way to kind of rediscover yourself and what you're all about in this life.
Yeah. And that is important, to rediscover or reclaim or recapture your authentic self or your inner child. Here's another aspect, as I was listening to you, just came to mind right now, is what can happen and most likely will happen is if you become someone else, if you can become the person that hurt you, then you're going to start drawing people towards you or into your life, you know, that are not exactly a good fit for you, because people are coming into your life based on the energy that you're giving off. And the crazy part is it'll feed off on you. You know, so if you're being this non-authentic person and people are responding to you, well, so a person may come into your life and accept how you're being, even though it's not right. Am I making sense?
Oh, you're making perfect sense. And I think what we're getting at here is the fact that people need to remember that, you know, as above, so below, and, you know, what goes up must come down, at least in this planet with gravity, what we have. And, you know, while you're, you know, you found the strength to, this great strength to get away from this person who hurt you, and you're on this kind of personal power trip and high, and this power and this confidence is going to attract people, obviously, that may be less powerful and less confident than you are. So when we attract these people into our lives, this is what makes or breaks whether the pendulum swings back or whether we create balance. Because when we attract these people who need our help because they might have less strength than us, are we going to empower them? Are we going to encourage them? Are we going to build them? Or are we going to break them down and hurt them in the way similar to the fat to the in ways similar to the way that the people who hurt us broke us down. Basically, what happened, right? When someone hurts you, it's because they're in a position where they have more strength or confidence or whatever it may be, or more money than you have. And instead of encouraging you and helping bring you to that level, they try to break you down and tear you down and keep you at this level below them. So when that pendulum swings in your favor, it's all about how you respond to it.
Awesome. You know, and so when a person hurts you and breaks you down, and I like that phrase, there's some part of you that's allowing that to exist. Is getting in touch with your inner child good enough to empower you, or is there more to it than that? And I know you're a healer, so is there a healing aspect that needs to be done in order to empower yourself or get in touch with your inner child? Is that good enough?
Well, that's, of course, that's not the only thing that's necessary. Healing the inner child is obviously important, and then practicing non-attachment and letting go is very important. And like I said at the very beginning of the show, when people enter our lives, everyone who enters our life leaves an imprint in our auric fields, an energetic imprint. And so we have to learn how to be aware of these imprints. And it's kind of like when you ring a tuning fork, right? At first, it's really, really loud, and then the sound begins to get lower and lower and lower until it dissipates. And even when we can't hear it anymore, it's still ringing. That resonance carries on. You know, sound kind of is an infinite motion. So even though you may not hear it anymore, that doesn't mean that it's still there, but we need to learn how to adjust our ears and to listen and to really be aware and to really be aware of these things. So to answer your question, yes, healing the inner child, being aware of the energy that's around us and learning to let that energy go. And so that it makes room for new things to come into our lives.
You know, Tracy, you're right. Every person leaves an imprint within our energy field. And even if it's only a person you meet for a moment, you know, their energy is imprinted within you. And it's up to you to decipher what you're going to do with that energy. I know most people just go on with their lives thinking that's no big deal. And for most people, they probably don't think it affects them. So if you had a relationship or even in a job or a friendship or anything that has that's had a very powerful imprint in your life, what can they start doing right now to remove that imprint?
The problem is that we don't really have the ability to cut energetic cords, so to speak, but it's not something that you can just pick up and remove. I like to use the analogy, like I said just a second ago, it's more like someone rang a tuning fork in your ear, and we have to let that sound subside and then learn to recognize that it's getting little smaller and smaller and smaller, but we don't want to hit that tuning fork again and again and again, because every time we feed into it or every time we pay it attention, it's kind of like you're hitting the fork over and it increases the resonance of the sound. So what we have to let it do is we have to allow time for the sound to subside and for the for it to get lower and lower and lower until we notice it less and less and less, and it eventually doesn't have an effect on us. Because I do believe that the energy doesn't just go away or created or destroyed. It changes forms, it moves around, it takes sound and all these things, different frequencies, but it doesn't just disappear. We can't just destroy it.
And most of humanity, when they realize they've become the other person that they don't even care for, get angry and perhaps even frustrated. Is anger
right.
good enough to start changing, or is it part of the whole process?
I think anger is a very natural and normal human emotion. People say, I got angry. I'm so mad at myself. And then you get mad at yourself for being angry. And then you just continue to anger. So let yourself feel that anger. We have to learn to control our physical actions while we're angry. I mean, you go hit a punching bag. You can't just go vandalize a car or something. So there's a difference between controlling your physical response and controlling your emotions. And I don't believe that we're meant to control our emotions. If you feel angry, let yourself feel it, so that you understand what's going on, process that thought, process that emotion, and then eventually it'll subside, just like the tuning fork ringing in your ear.
And here's another emotion that people may think, God, how could I have been so stupid that I would allow myself to become like him or her?
Self-compassion and self-forgiveness, you know?
Yeah.
I beat myself up for that all the time. I beat myself up for that all the time. I'll hear myself using a word or a phrase. I'm like, oh my God, I sound just like him. And I'm like, man, what is wrong with you? And then, you know, I remind myself, hey, you spent a long time in that situation. It's only natural that that's going to happen sometimes. And, you know, I forgive myself. I let it go and I move on. And, you know, the more time that passes, the less that it happens because I'm aware of it and because I'm giving myself that space and freedom and compassion and the ability to kind of heal and to move on and not expecting it all to happen overnight. And we can't expect ourselves to be perfect. And we have to learn to forgive ourselves when we slip up. Otherwise, we'll eventually end up back to where we started.
You know, but, and I'm probably speaking of myself here, but we're impatient and we want things to happen right away. We do want it to happen overnight, but you're saying that's highly unlikely then, huh?
It's not, I don't believe anything is impossible, but, you know, nature takes its course. When a baby's born, you know, you don't wake up the next day and it knows how to walk or crawl. You know, everything goes through this evolutionary process, and emotions and thoughts and healing are, you know, all go through the same evolutionary process. Of course, miracles happen, and there can be, you know, huge drop-offs or huge gains, and where changes can take place very quickly. But as a general rule, you know, things move slowly, and we have to allow that that time to transpire and allow changes to take place over the long term.
How come for a minority this happened very quickly, and for the majority it takes time?
Which part?
When change for very few, the change happens pretty quickly, but for the majority, it takes a while. Why is that?
I think the universe likes to allow people to kind of find their own way. And it will kind of nudge you in certain directions, and you'll take a step this way and another step that way. And those steps will happen gradually. And one day we wake up and realize, wow, you look behind you and you see how far you've come. But some people just don't see the signs and they don't listen. And this was me too. And so sometimes what happens is the universe just forces this change upon us. And they're like, hey, if you're not going to listen to my hints, and if you're not going to kind of nudge yourself in the right direction, like, you know, something drastic is going to happen that's just going to force you in that way. And I think that's what happens for some people.
Yeah,
and sometimes and sometimes it's not great. I mean, it can go both ways. It can be like a miracle, like winning the lottery, or it can be just something like terrible, like hitting rock bottom and losing everything. It goes both ways.
I'm going to go off topic a little bit here, but it indirectly deals with what we're talking about. Here's where it gets kind of crazy, and that's if you recycle yourself into the same relationship. So let's say you're in the job and this person treats you, you know, a certain way, and you start becoming like this person. So you feel like, okay, you know what, I need to move away from this person and get another job. Well, and you get to another job or relationship, and you're in the same thing all over again. So I know this is kind of off topic, but you also have to stop that cycle of allowing the same scenario to exist again and again and again, or the recycling of the same scenario over and over again.
Yeah, and I want to encourage people that if they find themselves in a recycled situation, not to be too hard on yourself. This has recently happened to me twice, actually, in the last couple months, where I've realized, wow, it's happened again. And I'm not going to be angry at myself. I refuse to judge myself or to be angry at myself. But what you'll find is every time that you recover from something like that, you know, the sting is a little less and a little less. We learn to let go quicker and quicker of things that do not serve us and things we don't need. Whereas the first time it was like long and grueling. And then the recovery from it was like, you know, our family was involved and our friends were involved and it was a life altering event. And then the second or third time you're like, oh, I recognize this. I'm not going down that road again. Steer the car in another direction type of thing. Whereas the first time, look at how long and look at what a process it took. So try to see the half full point of view of these lessons when you recycle them, and don't be too hard on yourself.
for the audience, I just put in the chat room the link to our Facebook page. And for those of you that are listening to the recording, do a search on Human Odyssey Radio on Facebook, and you'll find our fan page. And you can ask us any questions or have any – if you have any questions or thoughts or comments, please do bring them up, and either Tracy or I will address them. And, again, that's Human Odyssey Radio on Facebook. Just do a search on that. So – What other wisdom do you have for us, Tracy, in order to not become the person who hurts us?
You know, I think that this really all goes back to controlling that pendulum and that seesaw. And you know, sometimes when you're at the bottom and you throw that person off, it's you get on this high, like I said, and you just automatically catapult to that high position. Take some time to like breathe and relax and bring yourself back down to neutral so that, you know, we want to foster and create relationships with people where there's kind of like this sense of equality and balance as opposed to one person has the upper hand. And if you find yourself in a situation where you have the upper hand and you're capitalizing on it, know that that pendulum is going to swing back eventually. And you're going to be on the other side facing the end where somebody's capitalizing on you. So what comes around goes around, guys. Remember that, as above, so below. So, tread carefully in how we treat others and how we capitalize on situations where we do have the upper hand.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense, Tracy, because I know that I've noticed in my lifetime it is what you give off is what you're going to get in return. And the better you treat another person, the better other people will treat you. And that's what life is all about, is how you treat others. I know I come from a place of love, and not only that, but the self-love for myself. And by no means am I going to tell anyone that I'm perfect right now. I arrived here overnight. It took me several years to get to the point where I'm at now. And I personally still am healing and evolving and moving forward in my life. But I will tell you, I'm just telling the audience, is how you treat others is how people are going to start treating you. So
right.
I agree with Tracy. You know, be careful with what you do and or say because it will come back to you. One of the things that have helped me, and I know I've mentioned it on a program before, but the one thing that's really supported me to not to become the person that hurt me or not to recycle the same thing over and over again, and by no means am I perfect, but is to love myself, to really care about myself, to prioritize that I am important, that I do matter, and not from an egotistical standpoint, but like from a self-care standpoint. And by doing that, it provided me to evolve and not to allow scenarios and situations that don't propel me or to support me to move forward.
Yeah. And as I'm listening to you talk about self-love, and this comes up every week on our show, you know, it probably should have come up sooner on this week, but, you know, people should realize that, you know, if you're on the lower end of that seesaw, love yourself enough to jump off. If you're on the upper end of that seesaw, love yourself enough to know that you don't need to push someone else around, or you don't need to be a bully, or you don't need to be on the upper end of the relationship in order to receive validation from the universe. If you love yourself, we don't need the validation of knowing that we're above someone else. So, I know I've said this before, I'm going to repeat myself. If you're in one of those situations when you are in the upper hand, take that as an opportunity to help empower somebody and build them up and help give them the confidence to level themselves out and to come on that same level as you are. Don't continue to beat people down. It's a nasty thing that happens, and both parties are responsible for it. But as the people who are in positions of power and strength, use that for a good reason. Use it for love.
Totally agree. So I'm going to ask you a weird question here. Is humanity overall evolving and awakening that and understanding all of this?
Well, I think, you know, people always talk about dark and light and good and evil. I've recently really started liking to use the words create and destroy. So I think that there's forces of creation and forces of destruction. And like I said, as above, so below. And so there's this whole portion of us that are focused on creating and building and evolving and expanding but there's also that sect that, you know, is kind of like a force of destruction and tearing things down. And if you think about it, you know, it's those forces of destruction that kind of bring balance and make us realize what's really important and what we need to do and who we really are. So I think everything in the end kind of balances itself out. So that's why things don't move too quickly. You know, if everything was just creation and all love, then things would move way too fast and there would be no experience to learn from. So keep that in mind also.
That's interesting. No experiences to learn from. So in a weird kind of way, we require to have these experiences so we can evolve them.
I absolutely believe that's true.
Like, I know most people would prefer not to go through some of these experiences, but you're right. And I think I put a meme out today or yesterday regarding that, that sometimes we have to go through these experiences through the pain so that we can get to the other side of wonderment and freedom and liberation, because, you know, we dealt with what it was like to be on the lower end of things and we got through it. Any final thoughts or comments for our audience?
Remember, people, that life is a journey, not a destination, and that peacefulness and finding peace is a state of mind, not a place. And so remember that we can find happiness by choosing it daily, and we can always find peace in our minds no matter what's going on. And embrace the journey, whatever that is for you, because once you reach the destination, what will you do then?
Oh, powerful. Now, so let me ask you this question. We have about a minute or two left. How do you find peace in the middle of chaos?
Practice, Danielson. Practice. Training very hard. No, that's probably a topic for the ages. And there's, I don't have the answer. I don't have the formula, but it takes practice.
Yes, it does. And I'm not going to lie to the audience and say it's easy, but it does take practice and a desire to want peace in life, even when you're being put down or being hurt, or you're the one who's putting out the hurt. You got to find peace within yourself in the middle of the chaos. For our audience, Pacey Lee, ZetaLineHealing.com, my wonderful co-host. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.theosforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific is our show. Listen and pass it on to others. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, and future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or wonderful evening. As usual, Tracy, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous person in your life.
Hey, peace and love to everyone who's listening. Thank you all so much. Have a beautiful week.
Take care.